This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you.
Okay, everybody, welcome to the People Speak Radio Show. It's your host, Charles Giuliani. Hope you all had a great holiday season, great Christmas, great New Year's. It's been a while since we've been on air because of the holiday season, but it's good to be back. Got a very, very important guest this evening who hardly needs any introduction, Cynthia McKinney. Those of you that don't know her, I probably could make a good guess that nobody listening isn't familiar with her, but just in case, she's a former congresswoman from Georgia. She was involved with the famous flotilla incident a few years back. And she's here tonight to talk about a new book that she's just come out with, The Illegal War in Libya. And she'll be sharing some experiences she's been having recently from our good friends at Homeland Security. As you might guess, she's been getting some flack because of her relentless standing for the truth. This is what you get when you live in a seemingly free country that's actually a totalitarian dictatorial regime. Only the illusion of freedom, but the minute you open your mouth and exercise those freedoms, you know, like freedom of speech, you find out it's a whole different story. Anyway, with no further ado, let's welcome Miss Cynthia McKinney. Great to have you on.
Well, it's great to be back on your show. And I expect we'll have a nice little chat tonight.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I interviewed you, must be a good, probably 2 years ago. It's been a while, so we got a lot of catching up to do.
Yes, we do.
Well, let's start with your new book. It's a great title, and I couldn't agree more. It is an illegal war. I'm sure you got a lot to say about Benghazi and Petraeus's you know, sudden resignation. Of course, Hillary Clinton as well has stepped down. How convenient.
Yes. well, the interesting fact, I believe, that the people of this country are becoming more and more aware of is that our government doesn't always tell us the truth.
Isn't that the truth?
And, you know, that might be a shocking thing for some people to hear. Or it may even be startling or discombobulating for some people to learn that our leaders there, now that I'm doing my studies, my PhD studies in leadership, I call it those who have positional authority over us because they're not leaders. As Glenn Ford says, they are misleaders.
Yeah, you know, I hate to give them that title because that implies that people are following them. I'm certainly not, and I don't want anybody else following them. So, no, I don't like to call them leaders.
But now here's the thing. There are a lot of people who are still following them. And here's what's so surprising is that you'll find the greatest followership, I believe, among the people who ought to be the greatest dissenters.
Yeah.
And so things have gotten turned upside down now. And that is surprising to me, but nonetheless, we now have a situation where the things that we thought were true aren't true. The things that we thought we could count on, we can't count on. And so how can I say, things that we came to rely on we can no longer rely on. It's a whole different world out there now.
Sure. Unfortunately.
Unfortunately, you're right.
You know, we've reached a point where things are so scandalously off the charts. We can't afford to believe anything that we hear in the mainstream media anymore. And yet, unfortunately, I think a great many Americans, I would hope not, but probably most Americans still, in spite of all the lies we've been told, all the scams that they've pulled, most Americans probably still believe what comes over that propaganda box called the TV.
Yes, you're right. And it's really sad that just because it's on the television, just because it's on the radio, people tend to believe it. Well, that's why I've turned off my radio, at least in terms of what they call mainstream or the big corporate radio stations. I've turned that off. And
Listen
to my local community radio station. That's the radio that I'm tuned into. And I have completely thrown out my televisions. I used to have a television in every room. That's the way I grew up, with the kind of excess that is bordering on the sinful. But one of the things that I noticed as I ran for president under the went across the country inside the homes of the supporters, my supporters, what I realized was that the homes, the living rooms, were full of books. They didn't have television. So
sure.
That's what I did. Immediately, I got rid of my television.
Good for
and, you know, I feel as if I'm much more informed without the idiot box going.
It's really sad. And, of course, years ago, like you said, growing up, you had TVs everywhere. Things weren't so bad then. I mean, the TV, to some extent, has always been a propaganda box. There's always been lies coming over it. But, you know, it wasn't as bad as it is now. And there wasn't such a negative influence, too, as far as kid-oriented shows. There was wholesome, you know, family TV back then. But all the more so today, there's reason to you know, toss the thing in the trash heap. I mean, it's far more of a negative influence than it is a positive one.
Yes, and that's why I think radio shows like yours, is important for us to deliver the message that it is possible to be informed. It is possible for us to inform each other. We can learn from each other, and we don't have to learn from the idiot box. And in fact, that's not learning if we rely on the idiot box for our information. There's no way that I can say that I am informed if I get my information from Fox News, CNN. Those are propaganda organs.
They really are, yeah. And it's not like they're just lying on a few occasions about a few things. There's really nothing they're telling the truth about.
That's the sad thing, is that, you know, well, all we have to do is go back to the buildup to the war against the people of Iraq. And there, I believe it's Media Matters that did fact checking, and they counted the number of times that the Bush administration representative went on television and told something that wasn't true. They've got weapons of mass destruction. It was 935 times they lied. That's George W. Bush, Condoleezza Rice, Dick Cheney, 935 times they lied to justify going to war. So
and,
now,
you know, where's the investigative journalism? You never see EP been one dissenting voice, not even the hint of a dissenting voice. They're all like parrots, you know, just sing, dancing to the same tune.
I know. It is so bad. Not only is it that we don't have enough dissenting voices, but, you know, I've spent about the last 2 weeks or so scouring the church committee reports from the investigation of intelligence activities that were carried out by the U.S. government on or against U.S. citizens.
Sure.
And the counterintelligence program is...
COINTELPRO, yeah.
COINTELPRO is a part of that. And I've spent a lot of time with those documents. One of the papers that I'm writing is about the targeting of U.S. citizens, basically, that ended in murder. And
yeah.
This is as a result of the counterintelligence program. We have examples from the American Indian Movement, the Puerto Rican Independence Movement, and the COINTELPRO that was orchestrated against the civil rights, the Black Power movement. So in each one of those instances, we saw our own government interfering in the lives of people, interfering in their political rights, and even to the point where some people died as a result of that governmental interference.
Sure.
These are crimes that were committed that were never brought to justice.
And it's a matter of public record.
This is a matter of public record. It's all there in the church committee reports, which
you
are
available.
You know
what's sad? I'm sure you've encountered this yourself. You'll share this with some people, and they'll say, oh, that was decades ago. You know, as though somehow, okay, we've learned our lesson now. We don't do that thing anymore. No, the truth of the matter is, when you get a corrupt system like this in place, the tendency has always been that things continue to get worse unless people stand up themselves and put a stop to it. But as long as they remain apathetic, and Americans certainly are apathetic today, the tendency has always been that you know, once you get a corrupt system, it just gets worse and worse, and that's all we've got.
Well, look, when Senator Frank Church, now let's understand how the COINTELPRO documents became public. And it was because some young people broke into the FBI office and stole the documents and then made them public.
Yeah.
And that forced the Senate and the House to form select committees on intelligence in order to expose, first of all, to investigate what was contained in the papers, and then to publicize what the findings were. And the church committee was created on the Senate side, and it was the Pike Committee that was created on the House side. Now, Senator Frank Church found that the behavior of the FBI and the assorted other branches of government and departmental offices and things, the actions that they had committed were illegal and un-American. Now, if you think about that, we were talking about the mid-1970s, that these programs of COINTELPRO were illegal and un-American, that included breaking into people's houses, surreptitious surveillance of them, wiretapping of them, even attempts to disrupt their marriages. anything to they would keep people unemployed. They would just do anything to harass people. And then, of course, as I say, there were certain individuals who were targeted, and they were killed. And Frank Church said that this activity was illegal and un-American. But now you look at it, well, we have an administration that won't even say that it's illegal to kill U.S. citizens on U.S. soil.
Right. And yet many of these things that supposedly were, you know, officially declared, well, they were illegal anyway, but officially denounced by Congress, and measures were taken to make sure these things didn't happen again. Now they're happening under the color of law in the wake of 9/11 with all the post-9/11 Constitution trampling legislation that's passed. How is it any more acceptable today than it was then?
That's exactly right. And that's the question that I ask in the paper that I'm currently writing. Is it just because it's legal, is it still un-American? Can it still be un-American? And of course, it has to be un-American that the Bill of Rights is just ripped to shreds. The Constitution itself is just ripped to shreds. And then we've got cowardly elected representatives who are afraid to speak up on our behalf.
It's really disgusting how far down the rat hole we've sunk as a nation. You know, you expect this from your politicians, but when you see the general public being so apathetic and putting up with it, to me, that's more unconscionable than even what our politicians are doing. We really need a national awakening.
Yes, there have been some sparks. Like, for example, right now you've got the First Nations that inhabit that territory in between the northern part of the United States and the southern part of Canada. They are sitting in, they are striking, and they have this campaign called Idle No More. Some of us have never been idle, but you know, the point is that they're doing something. And I was just talking with a friend of mine yesterday, and we were saying, okay, you know, another year, another birthday, let's do something. You know, we're doers. I have people around me who are doers, and it's not sufficient for us to just lament the problems, because, you know, if I lamented the problems and I felt that it was hopeless, I'd go find a coconut tree to sit under and, enjoy the white sand and try to find some unpolluted seawater. But I haven't given up hope yet. And so that means I have to do something to demonstrate that I absolutely disagree with the corruption in every aspect of our lives, whether it's the health care that we get. The medical system in the United States is corrupted. And in fact, what I did was CDC, which is headquartered here in Georgia and in Atlanta, and used to be in the district that I represented, had a headline not too long ago, and they said, Americans are living longer than they've ever lived. And I looked at that headline, and I said, okay, let me find the truth. So I went to the place that I go to find statistics and rankings, which is the CIA World Factbook. And you can find anything in that, any and everything in that book. And it's available online. It's not like I had a physical book. I just went online.
Yeah.
And I searched infant mortality, maternal mortality, and longevity, lifespan. And it was true that people in the United States were living longer than they had ever lived. But the rest of the story was that the United States is like 41st in the world in terms of lifespan. So we're maybe living longer than people in the United States have ever lived before, but when we are compared with other so-called industrialized countries, we're way behind.
And we're also living dumber, maybe longer, but dumber and poorer.
That's right. And we're behind because of the corruption of the system that is about to force everyone to purchase health insurance rather than look at health outcomes and fashion strategies to deal with the outcomes. But you see, if you cared about the outcomes, then you'd have to look at the pharmaceuticals, you'd have to look at the fast food industry, you'd have to look at agriculture.
Oh, sure, there's so many factors, yeah.
That's right. You'd have to look at every aspect of our society that's been corrupted. And you can't offend the pharmaceuticals, so you can't look there. You can't offend the fast food industry, so you can't look there. You can't offend the big, huge agricultural conglomerates, although the policymakers say they're making policy for the family farm, but that's far from the truth. It's for the big conglomerates that they make the policy, and you can't offend them. And so,
well, actually, they are making policy for the family farms, policies that suppress family farms, that crush them out of business.
That's exactly right. Now, I just saw something that was given to me, and I've been working on, you know, changing the paradigm. There was a time when, particularly when I was elected, especially when, you know, early on, before September 11th happened and I started questioning everything, when, you know, I was a Democrat. And so I kind of went along with the Democratic Party, even though the Democratic Party didn't go along with me. I never enjoyed support from the Democratic Party. It just so happened that I always was able to win. And now, though, what I've witnessed firsthand are the fallacies of the leadership of the Democratic Party. And one of those things that one of the occurrences, not just September 11th, but it was Hurricane Katrina that made me second look at a whole lot of things. And I have to say that my voting record, I attended those meetings with Chuck Schumer, and, you know, he would wax seemingly eloquently about the need for gun control and all of that. And then when I saw them stripping, well, first of all, they brought in Blackwater to patrol the streets of New Orleans. The Democratic Party said when the Republicans formed a committee to look into what happened, the Democratic leadership, that's Nancy Pelosi, said, don't participate with them. Don't cooperate with them. Well, who was more important, the people who were affected or some partisan politics that was going to allow the fat cat to get even fatter? Because they were down there buying up all the beachfront property that had been destroyed by Hurricanes Katrina and Rita. And so I decided that I was going to buck that Democratic Party leadership that said, don't do that. Don't cooperate with the Republicans. Don't participate in an investigation. Don't investigate what's going on down there. And don't try to help the people. Let's just rhetorically talk about it, but we're not going to help them. And I watched as the U.S. military, which was questionable in and of itself because I'm a Southerner, and I understand the posse comitatus. Now, I understand the ignoble origins of posse comitatus as well. But the fact of the matter is that in the United States, we are not supposed to see the military patrolling the streets of a U.S. city. We're not supposed to see that. And that's exactly what we saw, in addition to Blackwater patrolling neighborhoods. And so then people who had been totally abandoned by their government wanted to find to make sure that they could protect themselves, and they were stripped of their Second Amendment rights when they sought refuge at the convention center. Incredible. I said, this is absolutely, totally wrong. And, of course, I looked at Ruby Ridge, Waco. I understand. And then,
Oklahoma City.
And in Puerto Rico, I watched as 200 SWAT agents surrounded a home and killed a Puerto Rican independence leader. And I said to myself, no way. Absolutely no way.
Something is desperately wrong. Yeah.
For a reason.
I tell you what, Cynthia, boy, there's so many things I want to talk about, and we're really pressed for time. We've actually got 5 more minutes. We're going to be taking a break here. But before we did that, I wanted you to give us a quick summary of your book. We got some questions second half of the show I want to get to, maybe not for the last 15 minutes or so, but I wanted to have you summarize your book.
In as few words
as you could. Yeah, and then, you know, tell us how we can get your book. I just want to make a quick comment, though. I said earlier that it's sad in the media we don't have any dissenting voices. You know, I would be happy if we just had simple critical analysis of events, never mind dissenting voices. Just give us the news from without bias, or maybe
That's
examine
right.
events and get people to ask questions. You don't even get that.
No, we don't. And the book was written as a result of my outrage at the Obama administration's policy to bomb the people of Libya. And I had just been there at a conference. And as I'm arriving into the United States, I hear that the government of Libya is bombing their own people. And I knew that I left probably 1,000 people at the conference, and they were still at the conference. And this was supposed to have been taking place in Tripoli. And, well, the conference was in Tripoli. It just the facts as were, well, the propaganda that was being presented didn't comport well with the facts as I knew them on the ground. So yeah. I went back, and the book is a result of me taking a team of investigative journalists with me, and we recorded, saw everything that happened there for the time that we were there, and that's what the book is about.
Now, what do you think about the Benghazi thing and the Petraeus's resignation, and then of course Hillary's stepping down? There was actually some mainstream media reports clearly indicating that we had a major CIA operation going there. It looked like they were supplying the uprisings that resulted in the takedown of Gaddafi and the uprisings in Syria.
Yes, I have not followed as well as I should have. It's just there's so many affronts to the integrity of, to my integrity as a citizen of the United States that, we're under constant attack. And but Fast and Furious is something that's very interesting to me. And I believe a Fast and Furious type, operation was going on there, because we understand that the many of the fighters of the Free Syrian Army were actually Libyan.
Right. Yeah, I understand that Gaddafi actually was working to take out some of these radical groups right in that area, and that he suspected Benghazi was being used as a CIA front, funding a lot of these people. And so that's probably, more than anything else, the reason why he was taken out.
Yes, and, you know, there was the scandal in France about Sarkozy having gone there and gone to Libya and come back with a pile of money that helped him to win in France. And that's very interesting, because I was there in France just at the end of the campaign, of the presidential campaign, and I can tell you that that was an operation. But if you'll recall, Sarkozy at the time was Minister of Interior, and so therefore he had, it was sort of like Department of Homeland Security, and it was an operation. That campaign was an operation, just like in 2008, President Obama's campaign was an operation.
I'll tell you what, we actually got to take that break right now, but I just wanted to mention this, and I'm sure you will agree. Sarkozy, of course, was a Zionist Jew, and isn't it interesting? What a coincidence that every time you climb to the highest ladder of these corrupt criminal enterprises, you always do find a criminal Zionist Jew sitting enthroned at the top of the pile, don't you?
Well, that would be interesting for us to take up after the break.
Sure. Why don't we wait for after the break to do that? Stick with us, folks. Short break. We'll be right back.
This land is your land. This land is mine.
Join us on The People Speak for an hour of live interviews and audience interaction as guests from various realms of interest share their work and strategies which impact our world and make a difference. That's The People Speak every Tuesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific, 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern on the BBS Radio Network.
This land was made for you and me.
Got questions? The library's got answers. And books and magazines and CDs and videos and web access and databases and all sorts of other resources at your library. In a world that's information rich, libraries are information smart. Find the right answer and a whole lot more at your library.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson for Normal. And like millions of other responsible Americans, I smoke pot. There's nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana. And it's none of the government's business. Let's get the government out of our private lives once and for all and stop arresting smokers. Let's take a stand for personal freedom. To learn how you can help, go to normal.org.
Come, you masters of war.
Hello, this is Cindy Sheehan. America's war on terror has become a war of terror, with endless drone bombings, continuing military occupation, as well as detention, rendition, and torture still being practiced under the current administration. I lost my precious son Casey to war, and now work towards a day when not one more mother, son, or daughter will suffer such a loss. Listen to my podcast, read my blog, and come join me at any activities I attend near you. Please visit CindySheehanSoapbox.com for more information, and let's work for peace together.
Build to destroy.
Stellar Flutes is a family-owned and operated business dedicated to producing beautiful, finely handcrafted Native American-style flutes in a variety of sustainable woods. Stellar Flutes are used by both beginner and professional musicians with glowing praise. Easy to play and invoking a calm, meditative feeling, they make a perfect gift for you or someone special. For more information, including videos on selecting and playing the flute, please visit StellarFlutes.com or call toll-free 1-888-427-8850.
Okay, everybody, welcome back. Once again, we're joined by Cynthia McKinney. In this second half here, I want to get to, we got quite a few questions that have been coming in. I don't know if I'm going to have time to get to all of them. I'll do my best. But I wanted you to finish up. You were giving us a summation of your book, and I also want you to mention how people can get your book. Obviously, Amazon, but you have a website as well?
They can get it from Amazon, and they can also get it directly from the publisher, ClarityPress.com, C-L-A-R-I-T-Y, ClarityPress.com. And that's what we need. We need more clarity on behalf of the people who really are supposed to be in charge of the government. But I got sent an email today from a friend who's a Republican, and this is what I was beginning to say also, and I didn't finish.
By the way, really quick, I just wanted to mention the name of the book. I don't know if we even mentioned it. The Illegal War in Libya is the name of the book.
The Illegal War in Libya, and it's published by Clarity Press, but it's available on Amazon as well. And I encourage people to please purchase the book, because there you will see the firsthand account of what happened there when President Obama, the Nobel Peace Laureate, was bombing innocent people.
Yeah.
And so you'll get a feel for what Libya was like before. That's a country that had no sovereign debt. Everyone was able to go to school, as I'm struggling now with my own student loans. I have student loans for my son, who just graduated from law school. And imagine all of the people who in this country have to deal with a banker before they can deal with their brain. And in Libya, education was free. And healthcare was free. So that's a country, of course, that has to be bombed. So we talk about the situation that was existent prior to the bombing. Then we talk about the bombing, and then we talk about Libya and Africa now, because Libya was the highest, most developed country in Africa. Now, you know, what the prospects are. And over the Christmas holidays, while everyone was enjoying their turkey, President Obama, the Nobel Peace Laureate, sent U.S. troops into as many as 35 African countries. Some in Atlanta are calling it the Christmas invasion.
Remember the days when, at least superficially, you needed to actually do something that was peace-oriented to get the Peace Prize?
One would have thought, but all we have is war and more war. Now, I'm hoping that Chuck Hagel will put a break on some of this. I'm hoping that we'll get Chuck Hagel as Secretary of Defense and not some clone of Chuck Hagel that's been put through the AIPAC, the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee, sieve, and that comes out, you know, looking like Chuck, but actually talking like them.
And actually, I'm glad you brought that up, because that's where we left off before the break. I was going to have you comment on that, you know, that you climb the ladder of every criminal enterprise, and you always find a Zionist Jew enthroned there, whether it be financial, political, you know, the control of the media, control of the entertainment industry in Hollywood. They've got their finger on every lever of power, don't they?
Well, now, here's something that's very interesting. I personally have come in contact with the political structure in this country, and I can tell you that the analogy I make is with a soccer team, because my son plays soccer. I was a soccer mom back in the day, And you know, you have a team, and the team trains, and then on game day, the team shows up on the pitch, and they expect to be able to win. Well, what happens in our political system is that there's only one team that shows up on game day, and that's the American Israel Public Affairs Committee team, because everyone else stayed home. They forgot that they were supposed to train, that they were supposed to have a coach, that they were supposed to recruit referees. They forgot that they were supposed to all wear the same jersey. They forgot that they constitute a team. And what I have said is that those of us who want peace, who desperately want peace, we've got to form our own team. And then we've got to be so well organized that we show up on the pitch on game day, and we go at it. Because, you know, here's the thing. There are more people who want peace than there are who want war.
That's for sure.
We know that. We know that. So why is it that we continue to lose? It's because the system has been totally corrupted by the money and the tactics of those who constitute the pro-Israel lobby. I'm an ex-congresswoman right now because they decided that they needed to target me. And so they targeted me, people in Mississippi, people in New York, by the droves in New York, people in all over the country, put money in my opponent's coffers, and I was outspent. Can you imagine an incumbent who's outspent? That's because I was so busy doing the people's business, I forgot to take care of the money business, and I didn't have any money. So we have got to understand that if we really want a change, a fundamental change, so that our dignity as citizens of the United States is restored, then we got to operate differently. And that also means that those people, like, you know, I don't even say Democrat, Republican, left, right, because it's like right and wrong now. It's not about any of that other stuff. And but we've got people who are gatekeepers. They're pretenders. Sure. And so they pretend to be pro-peace, when in actuality, they support war because they can't stand up to the Israeli lobby. So if you can't stand up, or if you're beholden to it in some kind of way, then you can't represent me. And we've got to call names of people who no longer represent the pro-peace, the pro-USA point of view. And that spans the spectrum. It's not just the Republican Party that panders. We also have Democrats that pander. The Democratic Party panders and is sustained financially by that lobby. But we also have people in the media who purport to be like us, and they actually are not.
Now, you know, this is something that we just can't remain spectator sports anymore, can we? We've got to get involved. We've got to make our voice heard, because this same AIPAC lobby is wanting to push us, has been for years now, and they don't stop. They don't. They're relentless. They want us to get into war with Iran and or Syria, preferably both. And if we remain silent and apathetic, they're going to get their way.
Well, I don't think they will stop there, because remember, we also have cold warriors calling the shots behind the scenes. And I'm, you know, thinking specifically of Zbigniew Brzezinski. So yeah, it won't stop there. It is true that the Project for a New American Century authors did design strategies to protect Israel well into the future. And I'm thinking not only of the rebuilding America's defenses, but the a clean break was a paper that was written for Netanyahu back in the 1990s. But it basically said that all of the countries in Israel's neighborhood needed to be dismembered, dismantled, quashed, subjugated,
right.
Regime changed. And that's what we're seeing now. And so, you know, I don't like the idea of stepping on someone's revolution, because Lord knows we need our own right here in this country. We need to get back to basic principles, constitutional principles, and rule of law. But and I understand that there are some people.
Let's specify rule of constitutional law, because they like to use that term themselves. But when they use it, rule of law, what they mean is whatever we call law that particular day, you know.
Yes, you're absolutely right, because there's no way that torture is legal. There's no way that war crimes are legal. There's no way that crimes against humanity are legal. And yet, I resent the fact that I'm a U.S. citizen, and the face of the U.S. to the entire world is war.
Yeah.
That's not me. That's not who I am.
They're doing these things in our name, and we just cannot put up with this anymore. I tell you what, unfortunately, I really wish we had at least 2 hours with you. There's so much to talk about. We're running out of time, unfortunately. I wanted to get to some of the questions here. Did you want to take some of these questions now? Or?
Yes.
Okay, great. They're coming to me via text. So this first one here we have is from Haim in New York. And he says, after the confrontation, I'm curious about this myself, the confrontation you had with Rumsfeld a number of years ago, he's asking, did you receive the paperwork that you requested during those hearings?
That's very interesting. And, of course, now, yes, I did. And see, this is why it was so important for them to get me out, because I would ask those tough questions and they're compelled to answer. Now, this is how we advanced knowledge on the war game, specifically on 9-1-1, because I made a tactical error in the questioning of Rumsfeld with respect to the war games, because I mentioned that there were 4 war games going on that day. In actuality, there were as many as 6 or 7 going on, and I didn't know that. But when I said
Vigilant Guardian is the most commonly known, but yeah, there were several others, sure.
That's right. So when I mentioned 4, they sent back 4 to me. Well, guess what? The 4 that they sent were not the ones that we knew about. So
they dug themselves in deeper.
Right. So that actually, even though I made a tactical error by specifying the number, I should have left it open. But it helped. Now, on the Dying Corps and the trafficking in women and little girls, that continues to be a problem. And
got nothing out of that.
No, nothing except what, you know, became public later on. Yeah. And the $2.3 trillion. Oh, well, actually, it was the 19. What was that? How much money? I think it was $19 million that had been spent that had been spent trying to make the computers talk to each other. They didn't succeed in making the computers talk to each other. So I got a ton of paper, but being able to go through it, of course, and then having the election stolen from me on those electronic voting machines.
Oh, sure.
That everybody, look, votes were cast in my fourth district race all over the state of Georgia, and we had affidavits. And when we went to court to try to get the election data, the state of Georgia said, the expert at the trial in the state of Georgia said, you just have to trust us that the person we said won actually won. And they said they would not turn over the information because the data, the election data, because it belonged to Diebold.
Unbelievable. What a scam. Well, we just have to trust them after all. I mean, they never give us a reason not to trust them, right?
Oh, of course.
Anyway, before we go to our next question, I just had to throw this out. This is pretty interesting. Did you know that the morning of the Sandy Hook incident, there was a training exercise going on down the street at the Sandy Hook Fire Department? Homeland Security was running it. It began at 9 o'clock that morning. It's very interesting, isn't it? Just another little tidbit.
Now, you know, that's very interesting. I did not know that. And if you could send me some information, I would love to have that.
Because
The interesting thing is, okay, September 11th, there were war games going on. In London on 7/7, there were also, you know, exercises going on. So these exercises, these games, these training sessions, whatever, seem to all coincide with tragedies.
Yeah.
And Department of Homeland Security, you know, they want us, they came out and said that we should be afraid of returning veterans, that we should be afraid of white militia males. Well, I've actually talked to white militia males, and I'm not afraid to talk to any American. And if that person is interested in moving the country forward, then I'm going to try and find a way to find something so that we can work together. And how dare a department of the U.S. government tell me that I need to be afraid of another American.
Right. The nerve. I tell you what, we're unfortunately only going to have time maybe for another one or two more questions. We got a lot tonight, probably more than I've seen from any other with any other guest we've had. Just not enough time in a show here. But here's another interesting question. This comes from Gail in Arizona. She asks, does Ms. McKinney plan to run for Congress again? That's probably a question everybody has in their mind.
You know, I go up and down on this. I'm working on my PhD right now, and I love what I'm studying. But I would absolutely love to be able to stand up in the Congress, because, you see, they work so hard to get rid of me. There must be value for me being there, because they work so hard to get rid of me. I would love to do it. I just need to have a little, I need to get my schoolwork done, which I'm doing. And if people really are interested in me running, please look at my Facebook, like me on Facebook. I just training from my son. So now I'm doing Facebook, and the name of the site that I want you to like is Cynthia McKinney Official. That's the official site, and because there's about four or five different sites out there, and we've got to combine them all.
What is it, .com?
Official.
CynthiaMcKinneyOfficial.com?
It's Facebook.com/CynthiaMcKinneyOfficial.
Oh, okay. Great. They can go and check that out. I'll tell you what, one more question that's probably, unfortunately, all the time we have. Sorry to our other listeners that had questions here. Just there's not enough time in an hour. But this is an important question. She asks, this is from Kathy in Wisconsin. She asks, I read Cynthia's account of being detained and questioned at an airport upon return from the Middle East. She asks, what were you doing in the Middle East and why were you detained? If you could answer that for us.
Well, now, I travel. I have friends literally all over the world, and I travel all over the world. And I participate, I've been asked to participate in tribunals. I've am a part of the Tribunal on Palestine, and they meet in various places around the world. I'm a juror there. And I also participate with the Malaysia Peace Organization that most recently looked at 911, and we're trying to get them to do a conference, a whole conference on 911. I am questioned whether it's whether I'm coming from Africa, which I was detained. It was the first time several years ago there. And then when I came back from Malaysia, I was questioned. And it's just clear that someone has put my name on a list. The last place I was in Pakistan, and there I was with the family of Dr. Afia Siddiqui, who is a political prisoner, sentenced to 86 years in prison. They say that this MIT PhD tried to harm a U.S. soldier who detained her, kidnapped her three children, and one of them, we don't know what happened to the child. And so I was there pleading on behalf of the Siddiqui family for the Pakistan government to ask for the release, the repatriation of Dr. Afia. Let her come home. She's in prison in the United States.
I tell you what, Cynthia, I hate to cut you off, but I guess we only got about 20 more seconds left. This really stinks. We'll have to get you back on.
Yes.
That's all there is,
okay.
That's all there is to it.
I look forward to hearing from everyone on Facebook, and my email address is cynthia@runcynthiarun.org. But now I'm trying to hone my skills on Facebook, so please like me.
Excellent. I hope you'll visit her site and do that, folks, her Facebook page. Thanks again for joining us, Cynthia. Keep up the great work. We love what you're doing. We have the greatest respect for you, and you give a lot of people hope.
Well, thank you so much. Y'all give me some hope, and maybe I'll get back out there. I'll run again.
Kick some butt.
That's right.
Okay, take care, Cynthia. Keep it up.
Okay,
folks, have a great week. Next week, we're going to be joined by Richard Belzer, actor and comedian of Law and Order. And he's, of course, also the author of Dead Wrong. He'll be with us next week to talk about that book. So we'll catch you then. Take care. Have a great week, folks.
One bright sunny morning in the shadow of the steeple by the relief office I saw my people, and they stood there hungry and I stood there wondering if this land was made for you and me. This land is your land, this land is my land, from California to the New York Island, the redwood forest to the Gulf Stream waters. Yeah, this land is made for you and me.